Holy smokes. My. Woo. Y'all awake? Aren't you glad you came to church today? I mean, come on. Listen. This is a good place to be. I'm just like an antidote in this service today. It is good to be with you. I am just so proud of our church and the time that they spent, so many of them, in particular, our teenagers, many of whom are sitting over here. You know, our teenagers could be at home, you know, playing video games, doing what they love to do, but so many of them showed up every morning this week from about 8 o'clock until 1 o'clock, and they invested in the next generation themselves. And that is a proud moment, I will say, both as a father and as a pastor. So thank you to all of those who invested in that. And that song, how many of you do that song? Let me see hands. Yeah, you know that song. If you've ever been in a doctor's office, you've probably heard that song. It's kind of in the Muzak repertoire these days. It's all over the radio. Even 25 years later, it's still being played. We're still singing the song. And it was a breakthrough song for the Arizona bass. That's right, right from here in Mesa, Arizona, Jimmy Eat World. After 8 years of writing and gigging around the West Coast, the release of their album, Bleed American, sent them to the world stage as one of the most popular punk and emo bands of the decade. Now, the song was released in October of 2001, and it was an almost instant hit, rising to the top five of the U.S. Billboard Top 100 in 2002. Now, at that same time, in October of 2001, I had just taken my first real job as a youth pastor on the North Shore of Lake Tahoe. And one of the first people I met was a teenager named David. David was obsessed with Jimmy Eat World. Everywhere he went, he was listening to or singing Jimmy Eat World, in particular, that song, The Middle. It was almost annoying to listen to him sing the song. We would go snowboarding and he'd be listening to it. We'd go wakeboarding and he'd have it on full blast in the boat. He loved it so much that he advocated and pushed that it would be the class song for his senior class in 2002. And it did become that. And he ended up playing the song with some of his friends at graduation. Now, David was just, I think, an emblem of what was happening in the many lives of teenagers at the time. And I would say even to this day, teenagers and young adults and all of us to some degree can relate to the song. And not only because of that infectious melody and the guitar and the drums, but also there is a real message behind it. The song was affectionately written in response to a fan who wrote the band back in 2000, telling them that she felt like an outcast even within her own punk friend group. And the band could relate. They read the message and went, you know, that is our story as well. Because after being told their music would never reach a large audience, Jimmy Eat World felt like they weren't accepted even within their own friend groups. They felt like they were stuck in the middle of something, between the beginning of this band that they had started and loved so much and this goal that they were setting out to reach. They felt like their fan, they were stuck in the middle. And the lyrics of the song are a reminder that being in the middle of something can be really challenging. But it's also the place where something new can emerge, which I think is a theme we all can relate to, can't we? Whether you're 16 or 60, you know what it feels like to feel stuck in the middle of where you've been and where you want to go. You know, even the majority of daily life is spent in middle moments. Time spent in the car traveling from one place to another, waiting in a restaurant between when you order and when your food is served, working on a goal between when you set it and when you reach it. In fact, you could say that all of life is one giant middle moment between when we're born and when we die. So much of the time that we live in our lives is spent in the middle of something. You know, beginnings and endings, they are only a small period of time by comparison of the middle moments of life. Which begs us to ask the question of ourselves, what are we doing with our middle moments? And maybe better yet, are we aware of the importance of the middle moments in our lives? Well, as you ponder those questions, I want to point us today to a person in the Bible who knew a lot about what it meant to be in the middle of something, the difficulty that came with it, and how it shaped him for the future. So we do this thing here at Genesis where we ask people if they want to open up their phones and download the YouVersion Bible app. We encourage you to do that. You can go there, go to More and Events. You can follow along with everything that I'm going to cover this morning. And you can use that as a resource for yourself. If you're curious about the Bible, if you're curious about what God has to say about certain things, it is a great resource where you can search for things, you can read things, you can even listen to stuff. Now, we're going to be in the Old Testament today. So there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is pre-Jesus, right? Before Jesus comes to earth, lives, dies, and resurrects, we go to the Old Testament. We're specifically going to be in a book in the Old Testament called 1 Samuel, and we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, prior to this chapter in the Bible, a guy named Saul is king over Israel. He's been appointed king by God and by a prophet named Samuel to oversee the well-being and the forward movement of God's people, Israel. But shortly before chapter 16, Saul does something stupid, which I know none of us can relate to. We're such good people. He does something a little stupid, and he disobeys a direct command from God. And the consequence for that is kind of harsh. God tells him his kingship is now coming to an end and that someone else is going to take his place. In chapter 16, it opens with Samuel, this prophet sent by God to talk to the people of God. He is there and he's received a message from God about who is going to be the new king over Israel following Saul. And this is what it says, chapter 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You've mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I've selected one of his sons to be my king." Now we find out later that the person God has appointed as the new king is Jesse's son, David. David is a young man in his early teenage years, probably around 14 or 15 years old. He is a very unlikely choice for king. He has older, well-established brothers who would be prime candidates for king. He is spending his days tending to the flock that Jesse has, his sheep, and he's coveting his brother's position in the army. Yet it is David who God decides, "I want him to be king." 1 Samuel 16:13, it happens. "So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil." This was a ceremonial gesture by God to the person he was appointing king to anoint them with olive oil. "And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah." Now you might think that that was it. Right? Saul's out, David's in. Saul is just licking his wounds. David, this 14, 15-year-old kid, is now trying to figure out what it means to be king of Israel. But that is not how things go down. Instead, Saul actually remains king while David waits his turn. And it is in those middle moments of being anointed king for David and actually becoming and being crowned king that David spends 15 years of his life. 15 years. For 15 years, David waited and endured the jealousy and the violent pursuits of Saul towards him. He was on the run for a number of those years. dodging and escaping Saul's attempts at killing him over and over again. Saul didn't want him to become king. He was trying to take care of things. David lived as a nomad, fearing for his life and wondering if what was promised in 1 Samuel 16 would ever become a reality for him. It was a treacherous time for David. In the middle moments of being anointed king and becoming and being crowned king, David would be challenged and struggle and fight for his own life. In fact, in Psalm 13, there's one of the most honest moments of David's life. And David writes about the very pain that he's experiencing in the middle moments of his life. And he says this. He says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me?" Have you ever felt that way before? That God has somehow forgotten you? That you're stuck in the middle and it's like God just abandoned you? David felt that way. "How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" It wouldn't be until 2 Samuel chapter 5, a whole nother book later, 15 years later, that David would finally be crowned king. 2 Samuel 5:3, it finally says, "When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed King David over Israel." From that point on, David would be king until the rest of his life. But for a decade and a half, David lived in the middle moments of being anointed king and actually becoming king. And they were brutal for him. But in the end, David became the greatest king, though not perfect. And if you read the story of David, I encourage you to do, you will see all of his imperfections. David would become the greatest king God's people ever had in the Old Testament. He was even named a man after God's own heart. And through his bloodline, through his genealogy, the Messiah, Jesus, would come. David becomes one of the great heroes of the Bible. But I don't want you to miss this, because what I want to celebrate today is not him becoming king, but what happened in the middle. The 15 years that David spent in the middle of being anointed king and becoming king were essential to the kind of life and reputation David left as king. David put on display that the middle moments make you. It's the middle moments of life that really make who you are. And I know that some of you are walking in today and you are stuck in the middle of something. Maybe you're in the middle of a dead-end job. Maybe you're in the middle of a relationship you aren't sure is amounting to anything. Maybe you're in the middle of your high school or college career. Maybe you're just out of college and you feel like you're stuck in the middle of schooling and the workforce and you're not sure what the future holds. Maybe you're in the middle of searching for meaning in your life and you just can't see clearly. Maybe you're in the middle of getting out of debt and it seems like you'll never make it. And I get it. I've been there. In many ways, I'm currently there. But I don't want you to miss out on the middle moments. They are too precious for us. Because it's there, in the middle, that you are made into the person God wants you to be. I mean, think about it. If you want to become proficient at something, like playing an instrument, right? Like we have really talented musicians like Landon and Chad and Lorelei, right? Great instrumentalists. They didn't just wake up today like, "You know what? I'm going to play guitar today," and jumped up on stage, right? Being able to play that guitar solo that Landon played has taken years of practice and intentionality and more practice. The middle moments of learning to play guitar or drums or keyboard are essential to the kind of musician you will become. If you want to become a proficient golfer, and you can currently don't know the difference between a driver and a putter, it will be the time that you spend on the driving range and the putting greens and learning the ins and outs of the golf swing that will allow you to become the golfer you want to be. It's not at the end or the beginning, it's in the middle where we are made, where we are formed, where we are shaped. Because the same truth applies to who we are becoming as people. If we want to be people who love more deeply, who give more generously, who serve more selflessly, who follow Jesus more closely, how we see and spend the middle moments of our lives will determine who we become, for better or worse, for better or for worse. In fact, as I read the scriptures and I look at the life of David and I see the themes throughout the Bible, there are three primary ways that God will use the middle moments of life in the Bible to shape us. And the first way that God will use the middle moments is that in the middle, he will prepare us. It's in the middle moments that you are prepared for whatever is coming next. You know, the years that David spent in the middle were used to prepare him to become the king God intended. He endured hardship and went through challenging times that built his trust in God, which served him well in his years as king. That could not have happened without the middle moments. God will not waste the middle moments of your life. He will use them to prepare you for whatever is next. He'll encourage you, he'll challenge you, and even, dare I say it, he will discipline you to ensure you are prepared for what is to come. Could it be that you are stuck in the middle right now because God is preparing you for something new? He's preparing you for what is to come. He wants to do a new thing in and through you. Maybe you are enduring these middle moments of life because God has something just around the corner for you. He wants to do something special in and through you. In addition, throughout the Bible, you see this, that in the middle, you are changed. We all want to be changed a little, don't we? I mean, sometimes I look in the mirror, I'll be honest, I don't really like what I see, right? I wish I had blue eyes. I don't know if God can do that, but maybe I look weird with blue eyes, I don't know. But in the middle, those enduring, challenging, trying middle moments of life, they change us. When a person chooses to follow Jesus, their life begins to change. It's one of the promises that comes to us in the New Testament. And while you may not be who you want to be, you can start to look back over time and you can certainly see you aren't who you once were. Because in the middle moments of life, God is changing you. Right? Prior to being a king, David lacked the maturity and spiritual resiliency he needed to endure what was ahead of him. And in the middle moment of his life, those 15 years he would spend, God's changed him from an inexperienced man to a man after God's own heart, a great leader and king. And God will use the middle moments of your life to change you, to shape you, to form you into the person he wants you to be. You'll look back and you'll realize, you know what? Maybe I haven't reached the pinnacle. Maybe I haven't reached the end. I feel a little stuck in the middle. But when I look back, I'm certainly not who I once was. Because God is at work in my life, changing me in the middle moments of life. And finally, as I look over scripture, as I see the life of David, I see that it's in the middle that we are stretched. David's faith in those 15 years would be tested during the middle moments of his life in ways that he wouldn't experience otherwise. God would use those moments to stretch David's faith, to enable him to trust him more deeply. And so no matter what middle you might be in currently, God intends to use it to stretch your faith. I don't know how else to say it, but he wants to see what you're made of. Will you stand the test of time? Will you stay the course? Will you be resilient? Will you allow him to stretch your faith, to trust him more deeply with every aspect of your life in those middle moments? Because if you do, that thing that he has for next will be something so divine, so supernatural, you would not have imagined it at the beginning. You could argue that it is only in the middle moments of life that your faith is stretched. Right? If I've reached the pinnacle, what use do I have of stretching my faith any further? It's only in those middle moments of life where we're struggling and we're trying to figure things out and we're questioning and we're asking God, where are you? Have you abandoned me? Have you gone forever? Have you turned your back on me? It's in those middle moments where our faith is stretched that we might accomplish exorbitantly more than God ever asked or we could ever imagine. So whatever you're in the middle of currently, I want you to be assured this morning that it is not being wasted. It is right where God wants you to be. And I do recognize that it is difficult and challenging and stressful and frustrating. But don't forget, the middle moments make you. The middle moments are what make you. He will use the middle moments of life to prepare you for what is next, to change you into who he wants you to be, and to stretch you to trust him more deeply. So from now on, when you feel stuck in the middle, I want you to challenge yourself to see it from a different perspective. I want you, instead of trying to escape the middle moments, I want you to embrace them, to leverage them for good, to see them with the same value that God sees them. If you're in the middle of that dead-end job, utilize those middle moments to develop your resiliency and allow God to prepare and change you for what is next. If you're in the middle of that relationship that just doesn't seem to have a future, trust God and have the courage to move on and believe that what he has next for you will even be better. If you're in the middle of that high school or college or young adult stage of life, that is an opportunity for you to allow God to stretch you in your education and in your faith and to prepare you for what is next. If you're in the middle of getting out of debt, and I know so many in this room are, stay the course. Trust that God is with you every time you make a good financial decision. If you're in the middle of looking for God and looking for meaning in your life, today is a moment I want you to remember, because in this middle moment, the creator of the world, the one that knit you together in your mother's womb, is calling you to him and saying, in this middle moment of your life, I want to do something new in and through you. Would you have faith? Would you have belief in me? Don't waste your middle moments. It is so easy to get jaded and cynical and frustrated and mad and get stuck for years upon years upon years. Change your perspective. Embrace the middle moments of life. It is there where you are prepared. It is there where you are stretched and changed. And maybe this week, as you're driving between point A and point B, as you're working on the filing system at your place of work, if you're just stuck in the middle of your day, maybe you'll remember these words of Jimmy Eat World. You're in the middle of the ride, Everything will be just fine. Amen. Let's pray. God, I am grateful that you do not waste a single moment of our lives. I am grateful that you bring us to places where we need further dependency on you. God, where you prepare us for what's next, and you change us and you stretch us to be the people you've called us to be. God, I am grateful that it is in the middle moments of life that we are made into the people you want us to be, because the majority of life is spent in the middle. The times that we have celebrating the end of something are so rare. And so, God, I ask that you would just continue to remind us that in the middle, you are there, that you are working, that you are not wasting a single moment of our lives. God, that we would look to you, that we would place our trust in you, as frustrating as it may get for us, that we would remember that you are bringing us closer to you, preparing us for what is next, changing us and stretching us to be more fully dependent upon you. Lord, I know that there are people in this room who feel stuck in the middle of life just in general. I pray you would meet them in this moment right now. They would hear your voice, and that they would respond in faith, believing that you are with them, that you will not waste this moment. They would hear your voice calling them to faith in you, to believe that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you are the creator of heaven and earth, and that through Jesus Christ, hope, forgiveness, and life change can be found. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for allowing him, enabling him, calling him to come and to live in the same way we do, in all of the middle moments of life like we have. We are grateful that you meet us here this morning, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.